Good morning to you, especially because the latest WhatsApp update allows you not to be added to any groups without your consent. The messaging app added that a new privacy setting in which an invite system will help users decide who can add them to groups. Excellent! Now we have more control on WhatsApp than Election Commission has on the Indian elections. It is 4th April 2019 and the fact that EC is allowing Modi biopic to be released right before election is not surprising at all. We already have Namo tickets, Namo teacups, Namo t-shirt and of course Namo TV, probably making this franchise a better affair than the latest Avengers movie or even the Star Wars franchise. As for Namo TV, a channel named after the Prime Minister, it has been on air for a week now but never applied for a broadcast license. It also does not have a compulsory security clearance and this makes the entire enterprise illegal under broadcast laws. Where was the chowkidar when you needed one? But from TV, let's head to movies and the biopic that the universe has been waiting for. Now even a blind man has a sense that the Modi biopic in time of election is being politicized. By its actor, here we mean Vivek Oberoi. The guy is giving press conferences, very unlike the Prime Minister himself, but given the irony inbuilt in his name, Vivek, meaning intelligence, he won't see the irony in him giving more press conferences than the real Prime Minister has or ever will. Speaking to NDTV, this Vivek, not to be confused with the other Vivek, I mean Agnihotri, Vivek Oberoi was taking dig at Rahul Gandhi, saying, "Why should I make a biopic on Rahul Gandhi? What has he done that is noteworthy? I'd have to shoot most of the film in Thailand." Well, actor Vivek Oberoi spot shot at the Congress that its leaders were scared of the chowkidar's danda or the watchman's baton has prompted the party's comeback. It is a bogus film of a flop hero, a flop producer and is made on a flop person who has proven to be a zero. Mr. Surjewala was quoted by news agency PTI as saying that. And on to the latest rounds of dialogues. Acting from Indian politics, we head to West Bengal where Modi versus Didi is in full steam and turning out to be quite a pot boiler. One dictator versus an inspiring dictator, what's not to hear? Narendra Modi and Mamata Banerjee yesterday went for each other's jugular in battleground West Bengal with the Prime Minister castigating speedbreaker Didi for stalling the state's development and the TMC chief hitting back warning he will face a voter strike. Calling Banerjee a speedbreaker in the way of West Bengal's development, Modi said he was waiting for that to get out of the way so the state can march forward. Hardly had Modi concluded his speech at Brigade Parade Ground in Kolkata when Banerjee took the microphone at a rally in North Bengal's Dinhata, calling the Prime Minister expiry Babu, one whose time to go had come. "I am not Modi, I don't tell lies," she declared. Mocking Prime Minister Modi as expiry Babu and expiry PM, Banerjee dared him to participate in a direct debate with her in television or at a public rally. Maybe get Vivek Oberoi to do the debates, he will definitely have a better chance, even though his acting skills compared to the original fall short. While we are on acting, I need to bring this story in and congratulate Jayaprada, who's still got it. During the launch of a campaign yesterday, actor-turned-politician Jayaprada broke down at a public rally in Rampur in Uttar Pradesh. The now Saffron Party's Lok Sabha candidate alleged that she had been forced to leave Rampur. Quote, "I left Rampur and active politics because they tried to attack me with acid," unquote, she said at the rally, accusing the Samajwadi Party and then taking to tears. Well, after composing herself, the veteran actress continued her address, saying, "For the first time, I have the strength of the BJP behind me. I don't want to cry like before. I have the right to live and I will to serve you," she said. She also added that she felt proud to be in a party where women were protected and respected. Well, I really have no idea which party is she talking about, but well done for Amar Singh to fix her seat. While we are on fixing and chowkidars, etc., in case you missed this news in the papers, cash worth Rs 1.8 crore was seized in a midnight raid on the convoy of Chief Minister of Arunachal Pradesh, Pema Khandu, and State BJP President Tapir Gao on Tuesday, hours before Prime Minister Narendra Modi addressed a rally in the state yesterday morning. Demanding the resignation of Khandu and Gao, the Congress said the sensational cash for vote scandal has exposed the BJP. "Is it not a clear case of chowkidar becoming chore?" it asked. Lok Sabha elections and assembly elections will be held simultaneously in the state on the 11th of April and results will be announced on 23rd May. Now, Arunachal Pradesh has a 60-member legislative assembly. The incumbent BJP is on the back foot with at least 19 politicians, including former state ministers, legislators and prominent local leaders, having joined the Congress since December. And while we are on stories of corruption, this one is bizarre, and that means a lot coming from Indian politicians, elections or no elections. Well, a 67-year-old Chennai resident has claimed to have taken a loan of rupees 4 lakh crore from the World Bank. Not just that, he also apparently has rupees 1.76 lakh crore cash in possession. Well, the details came to light when the man filed his affidavit for Perambur by-elections. However, more than his assets, the candidate's explanation has drawn attention. Quote, "I have been filing fake affidavits since 2009. In 2009, I wrote that I have rupees 1,977 crore in my possession. This was when I decided to contest from South Chennai. In 2016, I contested in two assembly seats and faked my affidavit. There were no checks. If every big politician can fake their affidavits, why can't I?" Mohan Raj said while speaking to CNN News 18. Anandi S., the wife of this independent candidate, will contest under the green chili symbol. How apt. Before we head to international waters, a bit about that app which has better acting skills than most of Bollywood and all of Vivek Oberoi, but still has nothing on Voldemort's abilities and skills to act and to execute. A court in the southern Indian state of Tamil Nadu yesterday asked the federal government to ban Chinese video app TikTok, saying it was encouraging pornography. Inappropriate content was TikTok's dangerous aspect, the court said in an order seen by Reuters. The IT minister of Tamil Nadu described some of its most suggestive dance content as unbearable. Vivek Oberoi's acting skill is unbearable. Modi and Yogi hate speeches are unbearable. Please ban those as well, yeah. With that, let's head to a quick overview on international news. A top Democrat formally requested yesterday that the U.S. tax agency provide Congress with President Donald Trump's tax returns, marking a major bid to obtain information about the president's finances and business dealings and setting up a likely legal battle with the White House. Talking about battles, Brazil has proposed a compromise to a 7-year battle that has quietly raged over the Amazon.com internet domain. Let the nations bordering the world's largest rainforest co-govern the digital address with the biggest online retailer. Now, Amazon.com Inc. has been seeking rights to the domain name since 2012, but Amazon basin countries like Brazil, Bolivia, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela, Guyana, and Suriname have argued that it refers to their geographic region and thus belongs to them and should not be the monopoly of one company. And from the forest of Amazon, we head to Africa's national parks, where Ugandan security forces are hunting gunmen who abducted an American tourist and her driver inside a national park closer to the border with Democratic Republic of Congo. Police identified the American as a 35-year-old woman and said the kidnappers had later used her mobile telephone to demand a ransom for $500,000 for the release of the pair. The driver is a 48-year-old safari guide with years of experience. That is all I have for you for today. Before you go ahead with your day, you should know that unhealthy diets are responsible for 11 million preventable deaths globally per year, more than even smoking tobacco, according to a major study. But the biggest problem is not the junk we eat, but the nutritious food we don't eat, say researchers, calling for a global shift in policy to promote vegetables, fruit, nuts, and legumes. So fix your diet and have a super day ahead. Until tomorrow, goodbye from TakeApart.in.